We're starting a new sugya, Rosh Chodesh, Kislev, Tovshim, Pei Aleph, Be'ezus Hashem. Says the Mishnah of Tes, Zayin, Omud, Aleph. Ha'umnin. Ha'umnin workers. Good morning, Rav Moshe Zelig.
Good morning.
We can see your tie, but not your head. So I know it's Rosh Chodesh, but I don't know who's wearing the tie.
Well, it's the ties that bind.
Right. What about family ties?
Yes.
So we began the Mishnah. Ha'umnin koirim b'roish ha'ilon u'b'roish ha'nidbach. Umnin are workers. They are allowed to recite Kriya Shema at the top of a tree or the top of a nidbach. A nidbach, as we'll see, Rashi says, is a construction site, a building. They're on the top of the tree, on the top of a building site. We do not tell them that they have to descend in order to recite Kriya Shema. Rather, they can recite Kriya Shema up there, exactly where they are. Ma she'ein rasho'in la'aseis kein b'tfilah, which they are not permitted to do when it comes to tefillah. So the Mishnah is teaching us a very important distinction between Kriya Shema and tefillah. Again, you have these workers, they're at the top of the tree or the top of the building. For Kriya Shema, they can remain where they are and recite Kriya Shema. For tefillah, they're not allowed to remain where they are, and presumably that means they have to descend, go down to ground level, and they will daven there. With the obvious question being, what's the difference between Kriya Shema and tefillah? Says Rashi. Umispalalim baroish, sorry, ha'umnin, says Rashi, sheheim asukim b'malachton. They are involved in their work. Now, this is going to be a significant point, as we'll see in the Gemara. Umnin means they're employees. It doesn't mean that he happens to be sunbathing at the top of the tree or even doing work because he fancies pruning his hedge. He's an employee, he's working for others, and that's going to be a very critical factor, as the Gemara will explain. Says Rashi, ha'umnim shem asukim b'malachtom, they are involved in their work, b'roish ha'ilon, they're on the top of the tree doing some gardening work, oy b'roish ha'nidbach, which means the top of the building site, v'hegi azman kriya shema, and the time for kriya shema arrived, koirin l'shom, they can recite over there, miyad, immediately. The time for Kriya Shema has arrived, so they should say Kriya Shema right there and then. Says Rashi, nidbach, the binyan shel avonim. It's a construction of stone, kamo, he brings the posuk in Ezra, nidbochin de even galol. Masha'ein rasho'in la'asois kein b'tfilah. They are not, however, permitted to do so when it comes to tefillah. What indeed is the difference between Kriya Shema and tefillah? Why are they different? Says Rashi, the tzelusa, tzelusa is tefillah, because davening is rachamihi. It's all about compassion, mercy, begging the Rabbeinu Shel Olam for rachamim. Uboi kavona. This is going to be critical, and it requires kavona. Hilkoch ein mispalalin b'roish ha'ilon u'b'roish ha'nidbach. Therefore, you cannot daven, although you may recite Kriya Shema, but you're not allowed to daven on the top of the tree or on the top of the building. Why? De mistofi. Mistofi means he's afraid. Dilma nofli. Because he's afraid that he might fall. If you're standing at the top of the tree precariously, you're always a bit worried and conscious, am I going to slip and is it going to be a wind that's going to blow me off the branch or off the building? De'ein yecholin la'amoid shom elo alidei adchak. Because you can only stand there b'doichak. Now, obviously, he can stand there, because he's there. So clearly it's physically possible to stand there. That's his job. But he's there standing dangerously on the top of the branches, cutting the tree, hanging on for dear life, hoping he can get this over and done with. With regard to davening, because he's afraid that he might fall, what's going to be a problem? Says Rashi, machmas biosusa, and because of his fear, loy motzi mechavni, he is not able to be mechavni.
But weren't we saying the last couple of days about how important it is to have kavana in Kriyat Shema?
Right, good point. We're going to see that in the Gemara. So according to Rashi, the distinction between Kriyat Shema and Tefillah is one word, kavana. It would seem to be, as Reuel David rightly points out, this is a difficult assumption, but it seems to be that Tefillah needs kavana. And if it needs kavana, therefore you cannot be davening in a place where kavana is difficult to come by, because you're afraid you might fall off. Whereas Kriya Shema, it sounds like, does not need kavana. And if it doesn't need kavana, even though it's difficult to concentrate, doesn't matter. Therefore, these workers, if they're on the top of the tree or the building, they may recite Kriya Shema. They may not, however, daven. We'll see more about this in the Gemara.
And if kavana is required in Kriya Shema, why don't we say Kriya Shema is a Daraisa and Tefillah is a Darabanan?
Right. So you're saying not only is the distinction difficult to make, but if anything, we would say the opposite.
Right.
Kriya Shema is a Daraisa. Okay. So Rashi hinted to the answer by pointing out that it's not the severity, whether it's a Daraisa or Darabanan, but rather it's the nature of davening, which is Rachami. Rachami is not a declaration. Kriya Shema is a declaration. Those who are with us in our Tefillah Vadim from the beginning will remember we discussed this at great length. Kriya Shema is essentially a declaration. Who are you talking to? You're essentially talking to yourself. But Tefillah, you are connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, begging for mercy. It's as it were a conversation. It might be one-sided, but you're conversing, you're addressing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kriya Shema, you're not addressing anybody. But we'll see that more about that in the Gemara. Says the Mishnah Vayta. So we'll come back to this. We'll see much more about this in the Gemara. Says the Mishnah. By the way, and this is not just by the way, we have to examine this very carefully because you see that Tefillah requires Kavana. And you must not, therefore, daven in a situation where kavana will be hard or impossible. Which, although you might think is a rather non-relevant halacha, when was the last time we ever found ourselves needing to daven at the top of the tree? But it does, however, mean that we need to relate this to very practical situations, whether it be davening by the door of a shul where people are coming in and out, whether it be davening, leaving my telephone on in the pocket that it could ring any second. All these types of situations would be direct manifestations of this halacha. If you cannot be mechavein, then l'chayra makes no difference if the reason is because you're on the top of the tree or because my phone is ringing, or because you're davening on a train, or because you're by the front door of the shul where people are pushing and coming in and out. The common denominator is you can't have kavana. So the same halacha would apply. Okay, we'll see more about this in the Gemara. Let's carry on the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Chosen Potter Mikrias Shema Laila Horishoino Va'ad Mitzoy Shabbos. This is a completely different halacha. No connection l'chayra to the previous halacha. The Gemara is at the bottom of the Amud. A chosen who gets married is exempt from Kriya Shema, even though the mitzvah of Kriya Shema is a mitzvah do'iraisa. But on the first night, on the night of his chasana, he's potter. Not only is it the first night, it's all the way until Moitzoye Shabbos. The presumption is he's getting married during the week. And we're talking about a chosen who is nervous. The Gemara will tell us that this brings us back to the famous principle of ha'oisek b'mitzvah, potter min ha'mitzvah. Now here, even if he's not physically engaged in a mitzvah, but he's nervous about the performance of the mitzvah. Because he's a chassan, he's worried how will he be able to mekayim the mitzvah together with his wife that night. Mamela, he's so preoccupied about it, he has the exemption of oisek b'mitzvah, he does not have to recite Kriya Shema. So too on the second night and the third night, all the way until Motzei Shabbos, we'll see in the Gemara what exactly is the significance of Motzei Shabbos. Im loy osa maisa. Presuming that he has not yet done the act, he has not yet consecrated his marriage. Once he's been mekayim the mitzvah, then he's no longer nervous because all went fine. But as long as he has not done so, he is torud, which means he's nervous and preoccupied and therefore is exempt from Kriya Shema.
I would think that that statement is even somewhat of a steer to the ratio of the Mishnah, because Rashi just told us you can say Shema without having the proper kavana, but Shmon Esrei you shouldn't. So maybe a chassan could be potter from Shmon Esrei, not Kriya Shema.
Yeah, very good point. We'll see that in the Gemara. Fair point. Says the Mishnah in conclusion, Umaisa b'Rabban Gamliel. There was a story with Rabban Gamliel shenosa isha when he married the woman, the koro laila harishoino, and he did indeed recite Kriya Shema on the first night, which is in absolute contradiction to the halacha we just learned, which is that a chassan is exempt from Kriya Shema. And yet we have a story with Rabbi Gamliel that he did recite Kriya Shema. So what's going on? Is he exempt or is he obligated? Omru loy talmidov. So his disciples said to him, what's going on? Limadateinu rabbeinu, surely our Rebbe, that means you, Rabbi Gamliel, once taught us, shechassan potter mikriya shema. So what's going on? Why are you saying Kriya Shema? Omar lohem. So he responded and he said, Eini shemea lohem. I'm not listening to you. Levatel heimeni malchus shemaim. To be mevatel, the whole concept of Kriya Shema, which is all about being a kabbalah malchus shemaim. I'm not going to listen to you. Afilu sho achas, even for one moment. So what does he mean by that? Very, very strange Mishnah. The Mishnah tells you a chassan is potter from Kriya Shema. It then brings me a story that Rabban Gamliel did the exact opposite. His Talmidim point this out to him. Surely you yourself taught us that you're exempt. And what is his answer? I'm not listening to you. I can't possibly be Mevatel Oil Malchus Shemaim. Why not? That was the question. You're exempt. So what was Rabban Gamliel trying to express it? That I disagree? That I retract? So have a look at Tosfos. The third Tosfos on the Omud. Ma'isa b'Rabban Gamliel shenoso isha v'kora kriya shema b'layla rishoino lav ma'isa listoir hu comma. This story does not contradict listoir from the word stira. It's not a contradiction to the previous line. Sometimes you will find that the Mishnah or the Gemara presents a halacha and then brings a story which does not demonstrate the halacha. It seems to imply the exact opposite. And the Gemara will always ask the question immediately, why are you bringing me this story that's a ma'isa listoir? The ma'isa does not back up the halacha, it contradicts the halacha. Imagine I would tell you a story, or tell you a halacha first. You know, if you do such and such and such, if you dip your fork in a meaty pot and it's parah and da-da-da, then everything is okay and you do not need to kasha the kalim. And then I would say, and there's a story with Rabbi Eliashiv, you once had this story and you said you have to kasha the kalim. Well, that's the exact opposite of the halacha we just presented. So then we would immediately ask the question. You said the halacha that you don't need to kasha the kalim, and then you brought a story saying you do need to kasha the kalim. So the story doesn't back up the halacha, to the contrary, it contradicts it. So that's Tosfos kasha. You told me halacha that a chosn is potter from Kriya Shema, and then you bring a story which seems to demonstrate the exact opposite. So surely that's a maisa listo. Says Tosfos, no, it isn't. Why not? Says Tosfos, the komash malon. Because what we're being taught over here is, im godoil hu, if the person is great, uboiteach ba'atzmoy, and he's confident in himself, sheyuchal lehischavein, that he is indeed able to concentrate, then vehu ra'u litoil es hashem, and he's indeed able, litoil es hashem means to take this mitzvah on board and to perform it, horashus b'yodai, then indeed we give him permission to do so. This story does not contradict the halacha. Rather, it tells me that even though you're exempt, but follow the reasoning, you're only exempt because we automatically assume that in the average case, your standard chosn will not be able to concentrate. So the story that the Mishnah is backing up is not to argue with that, to contradict it, rather is to say that yes, that is the case in the average chosn. But if you're talking about somebody, the stature of Rabbi Gamliel, who says that I am able to concentrate, no problem, even though I'm a chosn, then you're allowed to read Kriya Shema. There's no issa to read Kriya Shema. It's just an exemption. But if you think you're able to concentrate, then good for you.
Is this a general principle we're learning, or is this exclusive to this chosn case?
What do you mean general? General to what?
Meaning in the case before, let's say this guy, he's on top of trees and he's picking apples for 25 years. Can he now stay up there for Shemona Esrei? Because he's like, he can concentrate. It won't be a steerer for him.
Good point. I haven't seen a discussion on that, but for the moment, let's assume you're right. Let's assume that it's a general principle. That means whenever we exempt somebody because of kavana, if somebody knows himself that he's able to concentrate, then he's able to concentrate. So it turns out that that's how you have to now read the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says the halacha that a chosn is exempt, and then the Mishnah brings the story with Rabbi Gamliel that he read Kriya Shema, his Talmidim asked him, what's going on? You told us that you're exempt. And he says, I'm not listening to you. I don't want to be mevatel oil malchus shamayim. It doesn't mean that he's retracting or disagreeing. He really is just saying that I know myself, I know my own koichos, and I am able to concentrate despite the fact that I'm a chosn. But if that's the case, then I've got no reason not to take Kriya Shema. That's why I'm not going to listen to you. So therefore, what would we expect? We're not going to see it now, but if we were to open a Shulchan Aruch, we would expect not to see two opinions on the subject. There's no machlokes over here. We would expect the Shulchan Aruch to write what? That in the general case, a chosn is potter from Kriya Shema. The exceptional case is, if it happens to be a very great person, he knows that despite being a chosn, he's able to concentrate. Fine, good for him, he's allowed to say Kriya Shema. That's not called two opinions, that's just two cases. Let's begin the Gemara. So either way, as I mentioned, the halacha with regard to the chosn is a different sugya. That's the sugya at the bottom of the Amud. Mitzvah Hashem will get there either later on in the week or next week. So let's, for the moment, go back to the original halacha, where we discussed umnin. Umnin can say Kriya Shema at the top of the tree or a building site. They cannot, however, daven there. Says the Gemara. Tana Rabbanon, ha'umnin koirin b'roi sho'ilon. So we have a braisa now. Until now we learned the Mishnah, here comes a braisa. The umnin may recite Kriya Shema at the top of the tree, at the top of the nidbach, which so far is the same as our Mishnah. Now it says a little bit different. Umispalalin, and they may also daven Baroish Hazayis Ubaroish Hateino. they may indeed daven even at the top of the tree if we're talking about an olive or a fig tree. But all other trees, what's the halacha? Yordim lamata. They've got to descend to the bottom, umispalalim, and they will daven there. Now, what on earth is the difference? If you're nervous about falling off the tree, then who in the world cares which particular fruit tree it is? Zok Rashi. Umispalalim b'reish hazayis u'b'reish ha'te'eno. Bizman she'oiskin bohem. Even at the time that they are busy with them, they're busy at the top of an olive tree cutting them. The zman for tefillah arrives. They can daven there. They do not have to go down. Why? Mipnei she'anfeihem merubin. Because their branches are numerous. Apparently the olive tree and the fig tree have a lot of branches. And therefore what? V'yecholim lamoid shom. Therefore you can quite happily stand there. Shaloi b'doichek. Even without doichek. You're not all nervous. Why? Very comfortable, plenty of branches, you've got good balance. Ve'ein shom pachad lipoil. And over there, you do not have the same fear of falling that you did on the other trees. Presumably the other trees, the branches are very scattered and scarce. Therefore, you could easily slip and fall through the holes. But if you've got a tree with very thick branches, like in the case of the Zayis or the Teino, then what's the halacha? You're not scared. And if ain shom pachad lipoil lefichoch, therefore mispalalim beroishom, therefore you're allowed to daven beroishom at the tops of those trees. Amol b'shari lonos, but all other trees where the branches are not so thick. So then you go back to the pachad issue. Therefore, a mispalalim. You cannot daven there. So therefore, this braisa does not in any way disagree with our Mishnah. It just adds to it. Our Mishnah did not distinguish between different types of trees. The braisa tells us that there is an exception in the case of a zayis or te'eno tree for reasons that we just mentioned. The branches are thicker. You're not scared or less scared. You're going to fall. Now the question is how you read the next line of the Gemara. Says the Gemara, everything we've been discussing is with regard to umnim, but to balabayis. What does a balabayis mean? A balabayis means he's not the employee. He's the employer. Or somebody who's not employer or employee, but he's not working for anybody. Beinkach ubeinkach, whether this or that, yoyred lamato umispalel. He does have to descend to the bottom and daven. Not only in the case of a regular tree, but even in the case of a zayis tree or a te'eno tree, where we were told that workers do not have to descend. But he does have to descend. Why? Says the Gemara, Lefi she'ein daitoi miyusheves olav. Because his mind is not miyushev, is not settled. Now we need to understand, what does that mean? What do you mean his mind is not settled? Why is his mind any less settled than the umnin? If we're talking about a regular tree, so I understand, everybody is scared, everybody's got to descend. That's not the distinction. The distinction we're making is in the Zayis tree or the Te'eno tree. And we were just now told that a regular worker is allowed to daven at the top of the tree. Why? Rashi says, thick branches, he's not scared. So why does the Braita say that a balabayis, however, does have to go down? Why? Because his mind is not settled. Why is it not settled? If there are very thick branches, and you told me there's no pachad in the world, He's not scared at all he's going to fall. So what's the difference whether you're an employee or not an employee?
Well, the workers are used to it. He's not. I mean, a balabais isn't ragil to work in trees or on top of walls, whereas the workers are. So they would have more of a da'as up there than he would.
So let's have a look. In Rashi, says Rashi, bein kach u'bein kach, kloima. What does that mean? Bein mite'eino, bein mishari lo nois. Bein kach u'bein kach means whether you are dealing with the fig tree or other trees, the distinction we made with regard to umnin does not, however, apply to the balabayis. Why not? Says Rashi, Yoyred umispalel. The balabayis always has to descend and daven on the floor. Daho einoi meshubed lemalacha. He has no obligation to do work. Why? Shehu birshus atznoi. He is in his own domain or own control. The umnin are not birshus atzmoi. They're completely subservient to the rotzain of their employer. Whereas the balabayis is birshus atzmoi. He's his own boss. So what? Says Rashi, lefi she'in daitem yusheves olof mi ba'usosai, from his fear. Sounds like that even on a zayis tree or a teino tree, he is afraid. So one second. If he's afraid, so what about the workers? Why were we more lenient on a zayis tree or a teino tree for workers? Says Rashi. Him hikilu. Even though they were lenient, Eitzel Poyalim, there was a leniency with regard to workers, but that's only Mipnei Bittul Melacha. But Loi Hekilu Eitzel Balabais. Now, one second, we need to press pause for a moment. What do you mean Hekilu? Which leniency exactly are we talking about? If at the top of a zayis tree, you're not scared, then why is that called a leniency? We're not lenient. Just the facts on the ground, or on the tree, is that you're not scared. So why is that a leniency? So it would seem to be that there must be some degree of fear even on the top of the tree, a zayis tree. There must be some degree of fear on a fig tree. When we said that there's branches and there's no fear, l'chayra, that cannot be literal, that there is absolutely no fear whatsoever. If there's no fear whatsoever, then the same would apply to a balabais. It must be that there is some element of fear. We are lenient in the case of a umnin. Why? Because in order to obligate him to descend, that's going to cause bittul melacha. And he's meshubad, he's got a contract with his boss, he's got to work 9 to 5, can't take off 10 minutes in the middle. So therefore we're lenient. In the case of a regular tree, we're not lenient. Why not? Even though he's got the same 9 to 5 contract, at the end of the day, it's impossible to daven on the top of a regular tree, so what should I do? So we have no choice but to tell him, sorry, come down. But in the case of a zayis v'te'ino, where it seems you are able to concentrate, if not fully, but at least better, so then we will be lenient, we'll be makel in the case of umnin, because they have a shibud to their boss. We will not, however, be lenient in the case of a balabayis. Why? Because he is birshus atzmoi. That seems to be the way we're learning. Now look at Tosfos briefly. Lefi she'ein daito miyusheves alov. We said the Baal HaBayis has to descend from the tree, whichever tree it is, because his mind is not settled. Zok toisves v'in toima. Tois asks a kasha. Teipa klei mishum domrin on le'el. Lo yamoid odom b'mokoin govoya v'yispalel. You're not supposed to daven on a high place at all. So why are you teaching me that the reason is because ein daitom yusheves? It's nothing to do with ein daitom yusheves. You're not supposed to be davening on a high place, period. Even if you can concentrate there, it's not covered. You daven, you're supposed to be machnia yourself to Hashem. So why is the Braisa telling me that you shouldn't daven on top of the tree because his mind is not settled? Tell me, because a tree is a high place. V'yesh lo ima that no. Da'osa mairi al gabe kise oisafsel. Over there it says you must not daven on a high place. It means don't stand on top of a chair or on top of a bench. Aval be'ilon. But on a tree that he has ascended in order to do his work, there have a kumoy aliyah. What does it mean, kumoy aliyah? Imagine if you live on the top floor of a building. What are we going to say? Don't daven there because it's a high place. That is your place. An aliyah is an attic. Are you allowed to go to your attic and daven? Or are we going to say, oh, you better not daven because you're 20 feet off the ground? No, that's now floor level for that particular floor. So a bench or a chair, we would never say that you're on floor level for the chair. A chair, by definition, is a temporary item. So therefore, you are above the ground. You should not daven in such a manner. Whereas a tree is not a temporary item. You don't move about a tree. That's a fixed item. So what are you? You're like on a second floor. It's like somebody who lives on the second floor of an apartment building. That's not called a mokem gavoya. Therefore, the only issue can be because it's a das problem, but it's not a height problem. It's not a height problem. As somebody once told my father had a chavrusa who was very overweight. He once told my father, I don't really have a weight problem. I've just got a height problem. According to my weight, I should be about 12 feet tall. That's my issue. I'll call Pony Vaifan. Back to our story. So Tosis is teaching us, even though you're not supposed to daven in a high place, that means don't daven above the ground. So if you're standing on top of a chair, that's called above ground. But on top of a tree, that's not above ground. That's ground level for this tree. That's like davening in an alley. Okay, we'll hold it over here. Bezus Hashem, tomorrow we'll continue in the Gemara, all being well. Good Chodesh.